Blessing. Well, grace and peace to all of you. Thank you for being here at Harbor of Joy. Thank you to those joining us online as well, as those individuals gather from the fellowship area into the pews. It's great to be able to gather together in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Holy Trinity Sunday in the church calendar year. You'll hear a little bit about that later, but I want to offer special thanks to a few items. One, a special thanks to those of you who volunteer and help set up and do after or during fellowship time, bringing treats and such. Thank you for doing that. If you would like to sign up for that, there's a sign-up pad in the back in the fellowship area, and that would be a great appreciation to those who are consistently doing it to get a space and have you help out by doing it. Also, my name's Chris Townsend. I'm the intentional interim pastor here at Harbor of Joy. It's a blessing to be with you. I've had the opportunity to visit many of you in your home. Thank you for that. If I've yet to visit you in your home and you'd like to sign up, there's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall for that as well. Men, it wasn't in the bulletin, but I want to highlight for the men that this coming Saturday at Perkins at 8 a.m. we'll be meeting in the men's group, so please partake in that. Also, please note in your bulletin, there was an insert in your bulletin. Looks something like this. Pretty basic, but it has a great deal of information on it, in particular for the month of June, and then on the other side for the month of July as it relates to the Blessing Box ministry. It's an important ministry here at Harbor as well as in the community, and I would ask you to look at that and apply what's appropriate for your last name and the letter and the item to bring each week. If you are able, that would be appreciated. And it's vital, Dave was telling me, as it's noted there, because during the summertime, the stock that the stores give us has been diminished because more people in town, so they're selling more goods, so they don't have as much leftover. So it's up to us to pitch in and help out as best we are able. Also, please note that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, but I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit again in the sermon today because, well, it was just so good, I didn't want to let it go. So we're going to talk about the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, later today in worship. At this time, I'd invite everyone to stand as we begin our time together on this Holy Trinity Sunday with our call to worship. You'll see it coming up on the screen. Happy are those whose hope is in God, maker of heaven and earth. God sets the prisoners free and opens the eyes of the blind. And we'll continue now as the praise team comes forward for our opening songs, which are wonderful. Here I am to worship and holy, holy, holy. Thank you, praise team.
Say that you're my God.
We continue in the name of the Father. God, we come before you with thanks. God of all grace, give us the power of your Holy Spirit, our helper, that attentive to your word, may we live a life worthy of your calling. Amen. You may be seated at this time as we continue in worship. Karen's coming forward to share our readings for the day.
Okay, now I've got the green light. Our first reading, which is Pastor Chris's primary text, is from Galatians 5, verses 13 through 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Here ends our first reading. The second reading is from John 14:16, and is a short one. It comes from the mouth of Jesus, and it will all come up on the screen so that you can say Jesus' words out loud together. So let's do that right now. Please join me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. This ends our readings, and I invite Pastor Chris up for the message.
Thank you very much, Karen. I didn't know, sometimes I don't realize distinctions visually when someone is vertically challenged when they're up here as opposed to me being up here. I say that with all cuteness, Karen. Well, who is our hope and helper? The Holy Spirit, of course. We talked about this for a little while last week. We celebrated Pentecost Sunday this past Sunday, but I want to leave, I didn't want to leave all of that information in the rearview mirror, so we're coming back with some of it today. We're going to spend part of our time talking about the Holy Spirit, of course, talking about Jesus, of course, and the Father on this Holy Trinity Sunday. I've shared for decades that a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, is one who has received new life in Christ alone. This is part of what Jesus was speaking about, and I'm going to reference Matthew 9 here. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. The wine would swell and burst the old skins. Then the wine would be lost and the skins would be ruined. New wine must be put into new wineskins. A new life in Jesus the Christ connects us to the Holy Spirit. And remember the Bible reading we just shared with aloud. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That's in clear reference to the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily saying the Spirit, not necessarily saying the Holy Spirit, but the helper is the Holy Spirit for us. And we can acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, part of the Father and the Son, and has been given to us to learn together and to live together, be guided by the Spirit together as we walk with Christ alone. And as baptized believers, we know that the Holy Spirit is with us. And I shared this last week that we've been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit in our baptism. And when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we're guided into a new life, to live a whole new way, as we allow the one who lives within us to live through us. Hear that clearly. If we allow Jesus to live within us, if we allow the Holy Spirit to be in us, he, the God in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will live through us. And people will recognize that as we live our life through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was writing in Philippians 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will you to act according to his purpose. So Jesus is clearly telling us through the Apostle Paul and to the people of Philippi that God is at work in us. The reality of the Christian life, however, is that though we're not of the world, we nevertheless live in the world. It's obvious we're living in the world. We can't live outside of the world, or we wouldn't be alive. We're living in the world, but we don't have to be people, especially as Christians, who live of the world. That we live in the world, we're aware of this constant struggle. We're bombarded with information every day. We're bombarded with temptations every day not to live in Christ alone. We're bombarded with ways to go back to living the old way and not the new way of Jesus Christ. And this is why the Bible tells us that making a choice to let the Holy Spirit be active and fill our life is a daily decision. It's an activity for us to engage in each and every day, to consciously and continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. But how do we deal with the lure of the old life? How do we deal with a life that desires in this world to pull us away from the Holy Trinity? Well, we go back to the Bible. We go back to the Galatians text that was read earlier. I'm going to highlight some of it from Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Let me get to it if I could. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that's pointing to legalism, actually. And so Paul identifies three ways that we can live better that I'm going to share at this time. Those verses from Galatians lead us into this about how Christians think they can improve the flesh, the way of living. The idea here is that although we know we have a new life in Jesus Christ, we think we're in control. And because we think we're in control, we're going to do things by our own means, in our own way, and by our own energy. And if we're doing that, we're actually ignoring the Holy Spirit being active in our life. And that's when we stepped into what some scholars call legalism. Let me ask you, think about this for a moment. Have you only grown closer to Jesus by working hard to please him? I would think for the majority of us, the answer would be no. But if we respond to Jesus, we respond to the grace that he offers us, we want to live for him and do his will. It's not about working harder or being so much better than everybody else. It's simply following what God's desires are. If we're going to continue trying to do it all on our own, there's some awesome biblical points that'll direct us in a different fashion. And that's what the Bible does sometimes. It directs us in a fashion that God desires as opposed to what we desire. Galatians 3, God's word says, I would like to learn just one more thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Galatians 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul was dealing with people that thought they could do it on their own. That's the reference to the flesh. They weren't depending upon the Spirit that had been promised to help them. They thought they could do it on their own. Brings me to the second point. Verse 13 in our focus text shares how Christians indulge in the flesh. This is it. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. It's a pretty clear indicator of what we're not supposed to do. We aren't supposed to indulge in the flesh. Just because we're free in Christ doesn't mean we get to go out and sin. This type of Christian surrenders to the flesh. Let me be clear. Oftentimes, we as Christians do surrender to this world, surrender to the flesh. But most of the time, we also conclude we are not successful in living for God and through God and him living in and through us when we live of the flesh. A lot of people will give up improving in their walk and just depend upon themselves. The flesh is the reference here. There are people that will indulge in the flesh, even though they're Christians, because after all, they've been saved. That can't get taken away. So why not indulge in sin, indulge in the flesh, and just have fun? Martin Luther actually addressed this 500 years ago. He said, "Be a sinner and let your sins be bold." So many people will stop right there at that quote. Let me share it again. Be a sinner. Luther wrote this. Be a sinner and let your sins be bold. Here's the important part that a lot of people don't read in his quote. But let your trust in Christ be stronger. We're called to have a strength in Christ that overwhelms the negative, overwhelms the sin, overwhelms the separation from God. Let your trust in Christ be strong. Freedom in Jesus of Christ is all about freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. I've had this wonderful discussion with people before. Well, now that I've been saved, now that I'm walking with Jesus, when I sin, it's no big deal because I'm forgiven, right? And I share with them, yes, you are a forgiven child of God. Repent of that sin, though, and don't do it again. It's not like you're supposed to go out and sin. There was a story once shared from the pulpit. A pastor shared that this gentleman used to bring large amounts of cash and put it in the donation plate. And the pastor was appreciative. It was a small church struggling financially, but with this guy giving the way he was giving, it was wonderful. And this gentleman, this man, was a Christian, as the pastor understood. Finally, after repeated weeks of this going on, the pastor said, I got to talk to this guy. I see him putting that wad of cash in the plate. I got to talk to him, see what's going on in his life. So he sat down in his office with this man, And this man during this meeting confessed he was a bank robber. But he was trying to redeem himself by bringing some of the cash to church. He was told he was supposed to tithe, so he always did. But it was from robbing banks. You get the point of this, right? If we live by the flesh, we aren't doing what God's desire is, no matter our giving back of it. God desires us to live with him and be blessed by him. Here's another story. A woman was walking down the street and she noticed an old man sitting on his porch. His name was Ole. Some of you may be familiar with Ole. He's a big Minnesota character. Well, Ole was rocking on his porch, just enjoying the day. And she called out to him, "Hello there. I couldn't help but notice how happy you are. I gotta know, what's your secret to a long and happy life?" And Ole responded, "Well, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I drink whiskey every day. And I eat 3 squares at Taco John's every day. And I never exercise." Wow, the woman was amazed at that. Then she asked, "How old are you?" And Ole replied, 26. Sometimes if we just live of the flesh, it ends up showing out to others around us. We're called to live in and through the Spirit and have the blessings of that. Here's the third point. This gives focus to verse 16 of our text that was read earlier. All Christians should ignore the flesh. Verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And this is the way of liberty, always living by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that all who belong to Jesus have died to the old way of life and are living anew. The old life is dead, and now we're living a new life in Jesus the Christ. We're spiritually alive. We've been born again is a term that's used. There's nothing for us in our old way of life. We should always be looking into the future. But we must reconcile this daily, choosing to ignore the flesh, and instead acknowledge this new way of life, that we have a helper, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us each and every day. Allow me to share with you from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 6 and 11. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Then verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ." In the arena of liberty, being alive in Jesus Christ is so important. But we're called not to improve our flesh, but to ignore our flesh. To ignore those old ways, those sinful ways, those ways that come back to haunt us sometimes each day. The key, though, is surrendering to the Holy Spirit. In the Lutheran Church, it's not talked a lot about. We talk about Jesus a lot, praise the Lord. We talk about God, the Father, the Creator. Thank you. But our leaning into the Holy Spirit has never been super strong. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, we do. Lutherans have done that forever. But living in the power of the Holy Spirit is significant for us. Paul says there's a much better way to relate to the old way of living. The solution is not to worry about the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes, to walk in the Spirit. Oh, here's a good one. "If I said to you, thou shalt not think of a purple elephant, thou shalt not think of a purple elephant." Suddenly, nothing else will come to mind but purple elephants. You'll see a purple elephant in Arnold's Park. You'll see a purple elephant on the shores of Spirit Lake. You'll see this purple elephant everywhere. Because I've asked you not to pay attention to the purple elephant. But that purple elephant is in your mind's eye. Now you see it visually. But then if I set before you a hot fudge sundae. Oh, by the way, there's an ice cream social. I think it starts at 3:30 at Ingham Okoboji at the Ingham Bible Camp this afternoon. There's also a pie auction with it. They're raising money out there, so I might be there. Anyways, you have a hot fudge sundae with creamy vanilla ice cream covered with deep, dark fudge, topped with whipped cream and lightly toasted almonds, and then a red cherry on top, just like you see there. Now the purple elephant isn't entering your mind, is it? Because you've been staring at the ice cream. And for those of that are fans of ice cream, you're like, I wonder what they're having at fellowship time after worship. I don't think we're having ice cream, so. But you're captivated by something much better than simply a purple elephant. Now you're seeing something much better. It's important, and the Apostle Paul tells us this with authority in the letter to the people of Galatia. I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Oh, by the way, I'm not saying it's sinful to eat ice cream. Please be clear about that. I had ice cream at one of your houses this past week, and what a blessing that was. But life in the Spirit promises, life in the Spirit promises that if we focus on the yielding of our lives to that third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, we will not find ourselves living continually in sin as we were before. But we're focusing on living in Christ alone, living in and through. We'll be changed from the inside out. The Apostle Paul, in one translation, says we'll be changed to victory to victory. In the NIV translation, he puts it in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. And what a blessing that is, that we can live from victory to victory, glory to glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's important that we note something about what Paul says here in our focus text that Karen read earlier. He tells us that a saved person may lapse into sin, but an unsaved person lives in sin. There's a distinction there. I pray you're all saved. Saved through the power of God, through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you proclaim that each and every day, and you strive to live it out each and every day. Paul is speaking here of people who continue to sin and think they can get away with it, with no sense of remorse or desire to change. There's people still to this day, he's talking 2,000 years ago, but people still to this day who don't want to stop in their sin. They're living in it, even though they're called to be living for Christ. And there's no getting around it. Paul says that if a person's lifestyle is characterized by these kind of things, then there's a serious doubt about their legitimacy of living for Christ alone. Now check this out. Here's a reading from 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. I pray each of you understand the power of God and the salvation found in Jesus Christ and the call to sin no more. But when we fall down, when we fall short, we give thanks to God, who sent his one and only begotten Son to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So I pray this isn't a heavy sermon for some of you. I pray that you realize the power of the cross, the power of salvation in Jesus Christ. Living in the Holy Spirit prevents us from living like a lost soul, A lost soul often lives in misery. Maybe you know someone of that nature. They're lost, they're living in misery. But one of the greatest miseries is someone who believes that they are not saved, that there's no salvation for them. As we learn to live in the Holy Spirit, the changes the Spirit will bring about are powerful. And they'll enable us not only to be secure in our salvation, but to be sure of our salvation. As we walk in the Spirit, we will be helped by the Spirit to learn what His desires are for our life, being guided by Him in a faithful way in this new life. Just like when Jesus walked upon this earth, He was the Word made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14 shares, His Word, His will, His law will be fleshed out in us. So acknowledge that the power of the Holy Spirit is with all who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that the Spirit is alive in you, that Jesus is alive in you, and we are doing His will in His way, I pray, in His time. Let me start wrapping this up. How do we walk in the Spirit? Listen to God's word from John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We're called to live for God, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, to have Him as our guide, to have the Holy Spirit be our helper, to have the Holy Spirit fill our life with goodness so we can follow what God's desires are. We're called to do what the Spirit tells us, especially regarding joy and hope. We're called to do what God desires, not what we desire. And the only way we can know what God desires is to pray to Him and ask for His leading, to read His word and digest what His desire is for us as we're led by the Spirit as well. I pray we can enjoy the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus, that we can enjoy the victory that we have as baptized believers, that we can live that victory out each and every day, and that other people can see that victory in us. I want to know, what's going on in your life? Why do you seem so joyful? Why do you seem so hopeful when the rest of the world around us isn't? I pray you can share with that person, it's because you're a follower of Jesus, that the Spirit is living in you and through you. I pray you want to walk in the Spirit as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. It's just that simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. And not only in doing so, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. He will be our helper each and every day. He'll connect us into that Trinity, that power source. And we can proclaim that each and every day. In a little while, we're going to proclaim the Holy Trinity as found in the Apostles' Creed. That's what that creed was written for. We're going to talk about that in a sermon in June about the Trinity and the Apostles' Creed. I'd like to invite the praise team to come forward and prepare to lead us in song as we together take a moment in prayer. Would you bow your head in a time of prayer? God, you've blessed us with the Helper, with the Holy Spirit. On this post-Pentecost Sunday, may we always rejoice in His presence in our hearts and in our lives. May we hold on to the truth found in Your Word and be led by Your Holy Spirit to fulfill Your Word each and every day. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. We continue in worship as we sing praises.
Okay, last thing I need is to still I know that you're in this place. Please let me say yes in your holiness, word of God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Please do let me know that you're
enter into a time of prayer. If you would just maybe close your eyes and focus on Jesus. Holy Spirit, continue to guide us daily. Cause us to reflect upon your desires above our own. Cause us to be open to what you call harbor of joy into. And Father God, be with those unable to be with us this morning. Be it those traveling, vacationing, graduations, or recovery from health challenges, such as Mark and Charlie. Lord, be with the Waukee family as they mourn Maria's death. And God, we give thanks for the recent gathering of the women's group here at Harbor. May their monthly gatherings always be a blessing. And God, we give thanks for the Blessing Box Ministry and the chance you give us to support it. Lord, we thank you for the prayer team that meets here at Harbor every week. We are grateful for your leading of them and the blessing they are for all of us. And Jesus, as part of our local mission work, we ask you to be with all those who gather at the Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp for the ice cream social and pie auction this afternoon. May all who participate be blessed, and may the funds raised help change young lives. And Jesus, thank you for our international mission ministry. Thank you for guiding Patty to represent Harbor of Joy and serve you in Tanzania. Be with her as she leads others into deeper relationships with you. You, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we join together in sharing our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Some of you can see that up on the screen. I believe in God,
the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I invite everyone to stand at this time as we're going to share in the doxology before our benediction and sending. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he always look upon you with his favor, giving you his peace and joy each and every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll see you during fellowship.